I've seen a hole in one from PEI when the golfers have some fun.
And we're back for episode 5-5 of the Island Green Podcast. We are broadcasting remotely. Do we share our location, Len, or do we?
No, okay.
Secret location.
Secret location. We are on the island. We are on the island. And once again, I'm Chris. Len's here, and we have a guest host with us today. I don't think he deserves an introduction, but we will. Sorry, no, I didn't
That's
mean it
nice.
Like that.
That's
I,
nice.
I meant like
he, what you meant is he needs no introduction,
yes.
Possibly.
Thank you. Thank
I'll,
you.
I'll give him a little intro here. Been around the golf scene for pretty much his entire life. I can't remember when you moved to the island, but we became friends at Belvedere. You were there for a few years golfing with Tyler and Pudge. Still golf with them all the time.
Yeah.
Welcome to the podcast, Mr. Scotty Morton.
Hey.
And, you've been pretty much schooling me for, Christ, how many years now? That's probably going to be, Belvedere was probably what, 8?
Been here 10, 12 years now on the island.
Yeah, okay.
And, Belvedere was probably about 8 years ago, 9 years ago.
And then it was a couple of years, and then the boys went out to Country
View. Out to Country View for the past little bit, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's been good. Been good. Thanks for having me on.
Well, the beauty of the guest host versus the guest interview is we're not going to pepper you with questions like we do in normal because you're not that interesting.
No.
but we want your feedback on local, what's going on around the island and things going on. But I do have a question first. I'll just throw it right at you. What is your most accomplished golf achievement in Prince Edward Island to date?
In Prince Edward Island or in general?
I guess in general.
In general. Okay, so
what are you most proud of?
Back. I remember when we went to Cabot. I'm just trying to give a guy a little bit.
Yeah, guide me in the right direction.
Yeah. Well, when you were a junior and playing golf with Brian and the boys.
Yeah.
But your biggest, you think?
My biggest golf accomplishment.
Do you ever have a parking spot?
What's the trophy you're never throwing away?
Yeah.
Great question. I wouldn't say I have too many.
Your wife,
too many outstanding trophies. My wife is that one's staying. For
next question.
Yeah.
It's a big one. So
no, not a ton. There's been a few. I mean, when I was, I didn't really start playing competitively till I was probably 15.
Oh, really? It was like
yeah,
okay.
yeah. I
it was like you were like a junior golfer.
I was. I played junior a little bit, but I had no real interest in it. I did it because my friends did it, and that was it. To be honest, I liked skateboarding more back then. And
this is not surprising
at
all.
Yeah, that was kind of my thing, skateboarding, snowboarding, a little bit of hockey, a little bit of golf, but golf was not a priority. And one day I broke 80 in skateboard shoes, and my father said he should probably get me some golf shoes. I think I was 13 at that point in time. Started playing tournament golf the next year when I could consistently break 80 and then fell in love with it. And kind of got going that way. I didn't have a ton of success as a junior at all.
Okay.
I mean, really, in general, I haven't had a lot of success. I've been able to play at a decent level in Atlantic Canada.
Fair.
And have definitely won a few events. I played college golf at home in college. I won the Atlantic Championship 1 year.
No way.
So that was cool.
That's very cool.
Truro Golf Club.
Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hurricanes.
Yeah. Yeah. That was cool.
And we had
a good team. Like, guys that were quite good golfers. Like, Matt Matheson was on there.
I know Matt Matheson.
You know Matt,
big friend of the pod.
He was really, maybe, really good. One of the top players in Atlantic Canada at that point.
Okay.
And Thomas Teddy.
I have to say a Matt Matheson story. He'll never listen to this, but I met him in British Columbia when I was out there. We obviously had the same roots, being from PEI, the Hurricanes. Not that I played for the Hurricanes, but I went to Hong College. Anyway, he said to me in front of another PGA pro, and he looked me dead in the eye. He's like, Chris, 10 shots from 60 yards. I am so disappointed if I don't sink at least two.
Yeah, that sounds like Matt.
Right? And so literally, I just kind of met him, and he walked away, and I go, what a fucking idiot. Like, that is the dumbest. And then I was like trying to find a way to make this lucrative. I was trying to make money off this comment.
Yeah.
But then I played golf with him, and I played scrambles with him. We played together. Honestly, I have to say he's probably right. The guy is good. He is good. Is he sinking two from 60? I don't know, but...
Tiger Woods isn't sinking 260 on 10.
It was an exaggeration. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, a couple drinks. But the guy's got confidence, and he's got the game to back it up.
The only guy that has probably more confidence and more swagger than that is sitting right next to us.
Oh, there we go.
I don't know about that. You got the strut going.
So, yeah, when I get wound up.
But. Well, and this, when I came back to PEI, we went out for a game, and Scotty, you were with us. And the only reason I asked the question, what's your greatest achievement? Because I played with you, and you were
Stripe show on fire.
Yeah.
Stripe show.
Yeah. You knew your way. We were playing Country View, and I assume you already had a couple clip championships under your belt.
Zero. Zero.
So that's on me. I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
I can't beat Chris Curry.
Yeah.
I've been in the mix a couple of times.
You've been in the mix a lot, actually. Like, you're always sort of in the mix.
So we're saying I can't close is where the big issue is.
Well, you know what? We had to pull a few folks.
Okay. Yeah. Has it ever been broached before? Obviously, my namesake, the other Chris Curry.
Yeah.
Chris
with a K?
Yes.
What kind of benefits does he have being the superintendent at Country View?
What are you talking about? That sandbagger.
Okay.
He's not a sandbagger, but he'll tighten the fairways where he can't hit it and widen them where he can.
Now, is this fact or is this just you going?
Might be rumor.
I think Alex Taylor sets the course now.
You're probably right. I like throwing him under the bus though.
Yeah,
but no,
he can win with pride.
And he's got the course, like, plays it. He doesn't play it every day, but
he might know where the misses are.
He knows where the misses are. He plays that course so well. He plays every course really well. But he loves his way around for sure.
I've worked a lot of golf courses, and the superintendents have game. It's not just they usually can make the way around if they're lucky enough to go play as much as they can. Usually the job's stupid hours a week. You can't even get out to play, work on your game, much like a lot of PGA pros. But
were you on the Maritime Cup team that went over to Newfoundland?
I was not. I had a chance to go.
I remember Pudge and Murph went over.
Yeah, I couldn't make it that year.
My God, if there was ever something to go to, like, holy shit, what a trip.
It's a lot of fun. I mean, I've played in quite a few of them. A few in Nova Scotia, for Nova Scotia, I should say, before I came to the island. And then a few since I've been here. And they're a blast. Like, I love team golf.
Yeah.
By far more fun than any stroke play event, personally, that I can play. And especially now, like, I played a lot of golf, when I was in college, and then took a break from the competitive stuff for probably 6 years. Didn't play much at all, and then got back into it once I got back on the island and fell in love with competitive golf again.
Yeah. But
there's nothing like the team events for me. They're just so much fun.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, so much fun.
Another just question from the hip. No preparation. What event are you most looking forward to in any given year to participate in?
I'd say it's always been the Maritime Cup.
Yeah.
For me. I mean, I love it. You have to make it, and you have to make it based on the point system. Or if you get a win.
Yeah, you got
to
play good all year. And
year, you got to play good or hope for a pick. And, sometimes it's tricky because I don't play all the events.
But
been lucky enough to squeeze my way on a few years and played a couple events last year and was good enough to squeeze a spot.
So help me, because I'm obviously fairly new. I've heard Maritime Cup is a...
So it's
basically a team event from all the provinces.
Team PEI went, and recently they won, didn't they?
We won this year.
There we go. I'll come back.
Mark Carragher brought it home there, which was an exciting finish. It was really, really close, and it came down to the last match, which was awesome. So, it was fun to win, especially at Country View. I mean, we had a very strong team this year. Very, very strong. So, it's happy we won it.
Where's it next year?
Next year, I don't know.
It's a great question.
100% sure.
Not on the island.
It
we don't know.
Most likely isn't. It usually rotates, but I mean, it seems every year it gets harder and harder to lock down course.
Yeah. Tim does a great job. Like, there's all kinds of the conversations with his co-captains and the guys that are off island that are doing it.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of it has to do with, and I could be wrong, but a lot of it has to do with they all love coming to the island. Like, they all love coming here for a weekend. Even the Newfoundlanders, right? Like, they just they come here and they've got. I mean, obviously, PEI being the tourist destination that it is, it's like, okay, I know you guys want to get off island, but
it's a fun spot. Can we come? I mean, and it's finding the right spot to accommodate it, host it, the right price. I mean,
yeah,
they try to keep it pretty reasonable, so it's not overly expensive for anyone that wants to go.
So, no Maritime Cup at Cabot as long as we're done.
I can't see it. I can't
might be
see
out
it.
Of the budget.
Yeah, might be out of the
a
budget.
Lot of it. Yeah,
but I know Chris has hosted a couple times in the last few years, and I mean, just that Curry family in general out there, they do a fantastic job, and they're all hands on deck for it, and make it a really good event. So, Chris is a pretty easy go-to if we need a spot, I think. You're not making money on these events, courses that host them, so it's nice for someone to give up their course for a weekend, and you occupy it.
Yeah.
Is you're playing playing Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
You're playing Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
And then most of the day into Sunday.
Yeah. And, that's right. That's right.
You know, food and beverage will certainly make a few bucks, but outside of that,
you're giving up
a lot of green fees and a lot of golf course for guys to come play. So lucky to get someone to host it every year. That's a big thing.
We had Allison from the PEI Golf Association earlier, and we were talking about the events, the PEI, and it is the same thing. Like, the golf courses, some of them either get it, they see the marketing ability, they see the opportunity to showcase, and so a lot of people, it's the dollars and cents, and they give the Heisman, and now they're not doing it. So it's great to see support for those events.
It is. And I mean, it's tournament golf in general.
Yeah.
100%.
Like, you're giving up a golf course on a weekend there where, now, mind you, usually the Maritime Cup's late in the season.
Yes.
But, like, they would fill those courses, especially now with the golf boom, with green fees, man. Like, why wouldn't you, say no and fill a course with golf, with golfers that are paying $80-100 a round, right?
Like, well, as much as I'd hate to admit it, the reality is it's smart thing is not to host. Mm-hmm. Play events, because you're not making a lot of money on it, and there's lots of guys that will support the bar, and you'll make a few bucks on that, and these stroke play events. There's lots of guys that will not.
That's true.
It's you see tournament golf dwindling a little bit. It's got a little spike the last few years. You're seeing more two-mans, which is good. Brings more people,
a ton of two-mans,
into the field, having a partner, having a crutch. It helps, and that's why you see more of them, because fields get full.
Yeah,
and stroke play events.
And to be honest, each two-man is usually like $150, $160, $170. So it's like, for a team. So they're still getting a good chunk of green fee revenue out of that. Right?
Yeah, like, they're getting a few bucks.
Depends if there's meals and prizes.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's a tough one. I see why, there are less and less stroke play events. I'd love to see it go the other way.
Yeah.
But the reality is they don't make money. And not a lot of people want to golf their own ball.
Mm.
I know.
A part of it, which is 100%. Kind of crazy to me. I mean, if you shoot 75, 85, or 95, someone's going to look at it once and probably not care about it ever again. But people 100%. Get in their own head. I mean, I've shot in the 80s lots of tournaments.
Yeah.
I don't love it.
Yeah.
Forget about it.
Our good buddy Charlie Woods
No one else really
pretty
cares.
Sure he's going to keep playing.
Exactly. I mean, no one cares. You look at it, it's like, oh, he had a bad day today, and then you move on.
Yeah.
So, but some people can't get that out of their head.
Yeah, that's very true.
I think that's probably the same reason you don't see full fields in pro events around the planet. Guys don't want to post their score.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
So when I work with the PGA of British Columbia, a lot of professionals would not participate in the events, and we're talking not just like pro events, because they were scared of seeing their score, and they're like, I'm going to take a lesson from a guy that, for argument's sake, can't break 90, can't 100%. Break 100, can't break 80. So the association knew that, and they just started posting either the money-making scores or whatnot. And they're not in the mood to embarrass any of their members at the end of the day.
Smart.
I think it is. I mean, at the end of the day, I alluded to earlier, these golf pros, a lot of them don't have time to work on their game. They work ridiculous hours. The season's very short, and a lot of them can't play what they did to become a pro. So I think that's pretty wise, because on the flip side, if you're a member at a club and your head pro's playing a course, you're like, hey, if you participate in that event, what did he shoot? But not all the clubs are like that. So
yeah,
speaking of pros, Brian Affleck.
Yeah.
Good buddy.
Yep.
Good buddy. I think the first time I sort of met him really was that trip that we went to Cabot.
Yeah, that would have been a good time to meet.
Couple videos that may not see the light of day.
No.
But you kind of grew up playing with him, no?
Yes. Yeah. Grew up playing a lot of junior golf with Brian.
You guys the same age?
Pretty much every day. Same age.
Yeah. Exact same age.
Yeah. Played hockey with Brian and golf growing up.
You seem so much more mature than him.
I'm not.
No question at all. Yeah. In fact, I think from what I understand, there was a lot of matches back in the days for like maybe a few chocolate bars.
Yeah, I didn't come out on top of any of those with Brian back in the day.
No, Brian would always
skinny.
Hey,
that's Brian, right.
Brian, exactly. Brian would if he won, he would always pay up, and then apparently Scotty would always say, "Yeah, I'll get you later."
Yeah.
Oh no.
I don't know about that. I mean, to be honest, at that point, the amount of matches I lost to him, I probably couldn't afford to pay him chocolate price.
Yeah, we'll play with the chocolate. I'll get you tomorrow.
I'll get you next time.
There wasn't too many times I beat Brian. He was a ridiculous junior golfer.
He's still a ridiculous golfer now.
And especially like 18, 19, 20, 21. It was...
The Brian Affleck show?
Yeah, it was pretty gross. I mean, when he came back from college... first or second year, he came back. You know, we played a lot. He went to college down in West Virginia, I think.
Yeah.
And when he came back the first year, I know there was a stretch that he got hot and shot, I think, 64 three times in 1 week at Abercrombie.
Oh, I remember hearing that about that.
Stupid. Course record 63. I still don't think he got that. So tough. But anyone who's played that golf course knows it's not a cakewalk golf course. Like you gotta golf your ball away around that place, and you can't just go out and bomb it. Brian hits it a mile.
Mm-hmm.
Hit it 60 yards further back then too.
Yeah.
But Abercrombie's not really a course that's a huge advantage, because it takes driver out of your hand at a lot of spots. Yeah, he was good.
Yeah,
Ben, really good, and still is very good.
He has
a family now and plays less like all of us. But
yeah,
there was a time I wasn't beating that guy.
Yeah, well,
where does Brian play out of now? I don't know, Brian.
He's back at Abercrombie.
Is that Abercrombie?
Yeah, I believe he's out of the industry now. I still talk to Brian lots, but he was in the industry, and I believe he got out of it last year and started doing his own thing. I think he still does a lot of teaching. So I shouldn't say out of the industry, but I think he's out of course.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I seen he just today actually opened up the doors on a teaching studio. So,
shout out
to Ryan.
Yeah, all right.
Hope that works out well.
You know what the name of it is offhand?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Brian Affleck Golf Academy.
I think you're right, actually. I remember seeing that scrolling through.
But I think that's it. I think that's what it was before, and I'd imagine he carried the name over.
Okay, so moving on from that a little bit, one of the little quirks I know about Scotty, more so than most people, absolute Tiger Woods fanatic.
Yeah.
Get me wrong. Like, we're all Tiger Woods fans. Without Tiger Woods, we're not doing this right now. Like, everything sort of changes. He's the needle by any stretch.
Yeah.
What was your first memory of Tiger Woods? Because obviously, it was like...
I have no idea.
No.
All I know is that there's nothing that gets you to tune in more than the Tiger.
Yeah.
I just love watching him. I'd rather watch Tiger put his shoes on in the parking lot than three quarters of the people on the PGA Tour. So, I don't know. Love Tiger. I think he moves the needle.
I don't think there's any question that he moves the needle.
My first memory, I have no idea, but it had to be young.
So now, would you have watched, I forget ages now because all of my buddies are all much younger than me, but like, do you remember the 97 Masters or is
no,
that's pre you golfing?
No, I would have been like 9.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah.
Oh. See, there we go.
I'm
way younger than you two.
No, I know that.
I didn't know that. Yeah. This is hard.
Yeah, I was probably only like 9 years old.
We'll backspace that part of the podcast, but
yeah.
Okay, no, that's fair though, because then that's why I'm always kind of wondering. So like for me, like I legitimately remember watching, there was an interview with not the Johnny Carson thing, you know, because that was no, I never watched that.
Hello,
but I
world.
Remember there was an interview done with this new up and coming golfer, and I was watching my guy up until then was Freddie Couples, and I was watching golf, and then they kind of cut to this interview, and it was like a Dateline type interview with this young teenage phenom, Tiger Woods. Remember the name, and I remember certain scenes of the interview, and then we just kind of followed him as he went along. Didn't follow his amateur career, I didn't, you know, until sort of after realized what he was doing there. Wasn't that into golf, but then when 97 hit, and actually before that, it just like it was from then on, you know.
Yeah, I think when I really would have started paying attention and watching Tiger, was already the man at that point, probably like 2000.
Yeah,
He was already just tearing up everything. And
U.S. Open,
he was so dominant. Like every at that time. Every tournament he was in, he won. It seemed like when I really started following him, he was already the man.
I love the recent comparisons, and social media is great. Where I'll be like, "Oh, Scottie Scheffler has been number one in the world for X number of weeks. He just has to live to be 64, and he'll tie like
35 years."
Like I'm exaggerating, but I'm not exaggerating. Like the dominance of the Tiger is impressive, and I think it's a. Unless you were going to segue into anything else.
I was just going to say, like, so all of that being said, what do you think of his status now, right? Like, you've got Tiger, who's obviously, you know, his swing's nowhere the same. I mean, he still putts lights out. But what do you think?
What do I think? I mean, I'd love to come out and say he's going to, every week he tees it up, he has a chance to win.
Yeah.
I mean, in theory, he does.
Yeah.
But can he win everywhere now? Probably not.
Yeah.
You know, Augusta for sure. Yeah. Still win at Augusta.
Because it's a putt. Like,
absolutely.
Who knows the greens better than that guy?
Yeah. Right? Like Augusta, British Open courses.
Yeah.
And it's not so much due to his length. He pounds it still.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he was out.
That's not been an issue.
At the Genesis, he was one of the only few golfers that made it on his par 5 and 2.
Yeah, there you go, right?
So he's got the distance.
And, you know, he's back now playing tournament. Golf, it's hard to say. Genesis was a tough one because he had to withdraw, which sickness, food poisoning, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's what it is.
Well,
it'll be a good test the next few weeks coming up.
Yeah.
So I'm not disagreeing. In-N-Out Burger rumors out there. He got sick. However, I often now, I don't know how to say it without being rude, but I feel if he's not in contention, he finds a way to not continue to play.
Finds a way out?
Yeah.
We talked about this.
And he wasn't out of contention.
No problem.
Yeah. I think at that point, the leader was like 8 under.
Yeah.
Back.
Yeah.
But he's only through 6 holes. He rattles off 5 or 6 birdies. He's 3-4 back going into the weekend. Five back.
But I agree.
I don't think he's playing to make a cut, guys. I think he's playing to win.
Of course.
And if he feels he's mathematically out of it, I think that's when all of a sudden you see the limp again.
I don't think he was.
I think everything slows down. Well, I mean, like I said, I'm not disagreeing that there was an illness. I'm not.
Yeah.
But I also think it. Let's just say he was in the final group, and with the illness, I think he might have played. Like I think he would find his will, his adrenaline, his doctors would find a way to get him playing. And I think if he's not at that spot, he doesn't. He doesn't fight the same. That's where I'm at. So
yeah, I don't disagree, but at the same time, I mean, you got a guy like that who's won as much as he has and has been as dominant as long as he has. Guys like that are the ultimate competitors.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, they don't tee it up. They can't win. Or don't, they can't think they win.
Well, okay. Win, so let's just say he makes the cut of Augusta.
Yeah.
He has a shitty Saturday, and he's 12, 15 strokes out.
Yeah.
I'm going to say right now, he won't play Sunday. He'll find a way not to play.
All right. Well, you know what?
There
if,
we go.
If that happens.
How do I gamble?
Does Tiger finish the round?
Depends how he's walking. I mean, we haven't seen it yet. I don't know how healthy he is, like, for being able to mobile around the golf course. I think that was the biggest thing before.
But you know what? It's really sad.
I don't know. I don't know yet. It's hard to say.
As soon as he went out, I literally stopped watching.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
me too.
Like, it was like, ah, crap. Okay, well, he's done.
Yep. So, and there was good golf. Like, there were still good golfers. Like,
62 on
Sunday.
Didn't
watch one shot of the final round.
No, what, you didn't see Jordan either.
No, exactly. He was out. He was out too. But
he just moves the needle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you buying any Sunday red gear?
We'll see. Maybe if I squeeze a top three finish out somewhere this year, get a pro shop gift card, I'll pick up a shirt. But we'll see.
What do you think of the logo?
I don't like it.
Okay. I'll tell you, I actually don't mind the side profile tiger. I actually think that's cool. The where they put these letters, sun, day, red, you know, space in between, and then they shorten it to SDR. I think that is some dumb reasoning behind that. I'm not sure why.
I think they missed the mark big time.
I don't mind the tiger.
I think it's dumb looking. I think it looks like a rotted old Slazenger logo. Like,
it does.
The carcass of the old Slazenger logo. Yep. But anyway, and of course, I don't know if you're like my little Twitter or whatever. I think they missed the mark on that logo. You know, and people said, well, and I'm talking about with the club raised, you know, when he won with the fist pump, and people are saying, well, it's too much like Michael Jordan. So I'm like,
too much like Phil's?
Possibly. However, they worked.
Well, Phil's has not. Phil's logo with him doing a jumping jack.
Yeah, he's the only one that wears it.
Yeah, exactly. So but, I'm not buying a Phil Mickelson
logo. But I'd wear the fist pump.
The fist pump silhouette of Tiger Woods at 97. That is a winning.
Coming to the Island Green podcast.
That is a winning logo for sure. I actually, it's funny, I went down this rabbit hole. Do you remember Frank as a golf club head coach?
Yeah.
Like, that has a logo. I'd buy something with that on it.
What do you mean that has a logo?
So, sorry, like, there's a club head Frank logo, Tiger's head cover. It's a little.
Oh, really?
It's a patch. Yeah. And it's on a golf shirt, and it's awesome. Frank, and I would buy
Frank
that.
Frank was awesome. Yeah. Anyway.
You wouldn't remember. Do you remember Tiger's first golf logo? Do you?
His first golf logo.
Remember, it Nike did it, and you know what? Without mentioning that, it was weird looking anyway.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it based on like TW or
no,
was it?
No. The TW was what came afterwards. Yeah. It was a symbol, much like Nike, I think, presented to it, but anyway.
All right.
Not important.
Yeah.
Which pro shops are you gonna have Sunday red? Now I want to buy something.
Nothing? Eventual ones.
Yeah.
Eventual.
I'd imagine it won't be the cheapest stuff in the pro shop. So
I like all the jokes. I mean, so
it's sit like, here and trash the logo all you want.
It's still, three people are gonna buy it.
We have no idea what we're talking about. You know, the guy, the reality is... We're all
very fashion forward, aren't we?
Exactly. We're all sitting here in black t-shirts. I think reality is, I mean, that guy's going to have the best marketing people playing it behind him.
100%.
Well, it's about
that's
time.
Why there's something there. Why I'm intrigued. Know. That's why there's I'm intrigued. There. I agree with you. I think that they're, like, even the Sunday red, right? Like, I'm like, what am I missing here? Because to my eye, it just doesn't seem like much. But again, you nailed it. I think it's,
there was an online poll. I'm going to go to two online polls about Tiger Woods right now. The first one was, how do you feel with the Sunday red logo? 72% people think it's a miss.
Okay.
10% said they don't really care, and the other 10% said they like it. So I don't think we're of a minority when it comes to how we feel about the logo. My next social media poll about Tiger Woods, I love this, and I'll let you guys stew on this a little bit. Let's just say Tiger Woods' golf career, let's compare it to an 18-hole golf round. What hole is he on today? Because I guarantee he's on the back nine.
He's on the back nine.
Give me what hole he's on.
The 19th.
Which is a very popular hole. I you know what?
You know, it's a great question. Like,
is he going to do anything?
What do you think, Scotty? Do you think he's got another win in him?
Yes.
Okay. So that, to me, would indicate that he's walking down the 18th or he's hitting his tee shot on the set, par 317. Like, he's, you know.
I don't know. I think the masses would say no. I think the smart answer is probably no.
Well, the smart answer should be also, never bet against Tiger.
Don't ever bet against Tiger. He's done it. He's come back multiple times and won.
Tour championship.
I mean, that was crazy. Epic. And then the Masters.
In
2019.
Right.
I don't know. It's kind of the same as my Super Bowl bet on the Chiefs. I want to bet 49ers the entire time. And the only reason I bet the Chiefs is because Yeah, last minute. Like, I was 5 minutes before kickoff.
Right.
Before I made that bet, because I wanted to bet the Niners the whole time. And the only thing I kept thinking is, if the Chiefs go out and wipe them, I'm just going to look back and be like, what an idiot. Why would you ever bet against Mahomes and Kelce?
Right.
And it's kind of the same thing with Tiger. Like, kind of hard to bet against the guy because he's proved people wrong time and time
again. Yeah, we're not talking about betting on an event. We're talking about betting in,
but just in general.
Yeah,
betting on him still having a win in it. It's like, would I say no? That's probably the more realistic answer, maybe.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to say no because I still think he can. I don't think he tees it up if he doesn't think he can win. Augusta would be, in my opinion, the spot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the Mecca, right?
That's where he could get it done.
Dale Earnhardt, Daytona 500 type, you know, shit. That
You can fit the ball around that place, hit it in the right spots. You have a big advantage. I mean, they keep lengthening it.
And he's now probably one of the guys who played the golf course the most. Right? Like at this stage.
Absolutely.
You know,
like that only actually. One more?
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
yeah. It seemed like every year Langer tees it up and has a chance. To make Charlie Hoffman.
Yeah.
I just remember there was like a 10-year stretch where every time I turned it on after the second
half, Hoffman was right there.
Within one. I'm like,
Every year.
Same with Langer.
Wearing that goofy green
hat. Freddie Couples had a few good years too.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
You know, in his later days.
I think everyone roots for these exceptions in. They play once a year. Who's the guy that wears the suspenders? Sandy Lyle, is it?
Yeah.
Like, just, anyway. Masters is a fun event. That's right around the corner.
That's the best one.
You touched upon the Super Bowl, and oddly enough, Lynn, we haven't talked since the Super Bowl.
Right.
So I'm just going to assume everyone watched the Super Bowl.
Yes,
How about that halftime show?
Terrible. I thought it was terrible.
Okay, and you're younger than me.
Yeah.
Significantly, apparently.
Yeah.
Lenny, what do you think of old Usher?
My wife loved it. Like, loved it. Like, she was dancing, and she was...
So did mine.
She was dancing or whatever.
Shirts
I off. Was just, you know what? Like, he put on a good show. I'm just not a big Usher guy.
Yeah, fair.
Like, I think that might be the problem with me, too. I just don't like Usher.
So I tell you the next morning, I went back and I watched the Snoop Dogg one twice. Right?
Unreal.
And like, I'm not a huge hip hop guy. I know, Scotty, you love the hip hop, but for me, it was just when that Still Dre comes on, I just get goosebumps. Yeah. Like,
me too. I watched, to be honest.
Well, so Rihanna was last year when we felt Rihanna was a miss.
Brutal.
Yeah. Okay, I was at Boston Pizza when Rihanna was there, and I had people crying. They loved that show so much.
Crying.
Like, just caught up in the moment, singing along, and all I'm looking at is no wardrobe changes, no wardrobe malfunctions. I thought it was a miss. Usher, a miss. I had this little moment afterwards. It's not like I'm not watching the Super Bowl if it doesn't matter what halftime talent's going to be there. I'm watching the Super Bowl for the football. The chances are if they bring Usher, then they might bring in another audience and maybe they'll fall in love with football. That's, I think, my logic based on the halftime show.
Look at Taylor Swift.
Look at what Taylor Swift did.
Yeah.
I mean,
prime example.
They said that in Europe, Travis Kelce is the most popular jersey sold like in X amount of years or whatever. And I don't think that includes like soccer over there, or football, but you know what I'm saying. Like
Travis Kelce hyphen Swift.
It's the
Kelce Swift.
Actually, Taylor Kelce.
Can I talk to you guys about Jason Kelce for a moment?
Sure.
Okay.
Eagles, yeah. You can talk about him for as long as you want.
Okay. Trash or treasure?
Absolute treasure. And Scotty? I will fight anybody who thinks otherwise.
Trash or treasure?
Yeah, hard not to like the guy.
Okay.
He's a beauty.
I was on the same, and I saw something again on social media. I hope I'm wrong. But basically...
You can't be. It was on social media. It's all correct.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Lady Gaga called out Jason Kelce. For being drunk. Did that happen?
Yeah, I think so.
So does that not change a little bit?
Not at all. I'd be drunk, too, at a Lady Gaga concert.
She is also a national treasure.
Well, what did he do?
Drunk at a concert, and Lady Gaga stopped the show to say, you're a drunken master. I don't want to paraphrase, but apparently he was obnoxious at a Lady Gaga concert enough where she had to stop the show and point
out. You know, it's what I think
a lot of people... I lost a little Jason Kelce love there.
Here's the issue, Chris. is that I think people don't realize now with the age of social media and growing up, nobody's fucking perfect. Like, nobody fucking just goes through their life never making a mistake. And I'm not even saying that this is a mistake. In fact, I think if I was at a Lady Gaga concert, I would be banged up as hell too. But the celebrities and the people under the spotlight, they're not allowed to screw up. They're not allowed to do anything, or they get blasted or canceled or something.
It doesn't seem like anyone's allowed to do anything.
But okay, wow. Okay.
And I mean, no matter what happens, any situation, no matter how positive it is, like, you could rescue 100 puppies from a burning building,
100%.
And someone would be pissed off about it for some reason.
100%.
Okay, so
there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
That's why, unfortunately, and I know this day of social media and the internet, it gives too many people a voice.
100%.
And I love free
speech. Not everybody should have
an opinion. I 100% agree with it. But, like, my God, some people shouldn't have a platform to voice it, because...
So the only reason I bring it up, and I am a Jason Kelce fan as well, I think most Maritimers would be. The only thing I just want to say is, I seem to like him more when he took his shirt off when his brother got a touchdown in the championship.
You'd do the same thing if I was at the Island Open.
100%. I'd be pumped for you.
Yeah.
You have the yellow caddy bib on, so the shirt off.
I think Jason's getting a reputation that there's more booze involved than potentially not. Anyway, that's it. I know he's going to be listening and call me over. I'm a Kelce fan. I am.
Well, now I hope Kelce's. So.
But.
His wife is cool as hell.
But give
she's
Lady
right
Gaga,
down to her.
You know, yeah, she's great.
Yeah.
She's great. Doesn't like the spotlight. Tells it how it is.
She's like,
I think she keeps him in check.
Big time.
Yeah.
And she's like, I wouldn't wear, I have an Eagles girl I can't wear.
Like, I respect the hell
I couldn't
it.
Wear the Chiefs stuff.
She wore red.
She wore red. I'll wear red, but I'll wear red sometime, okay. You know, whatever. I okay. love her.
Same weekend, another event wrapped up, the Waste Management.
Yeah.
Potentially, you might have heard of a fellow that took down the title.
Yeah, I heard of him.
Yeah. Canadian Nick Taylor.
Yeah, he splurged on tickets for us.
He did.
Yeah.
Down in Mexico.
Yeah, yeah. What a great guy.
He's a great guy. That's a side call. So, if you guys, did you guys watch any of the Waste Management? I mean, Tiger wasn't in it, so you probably didn't.
All right. Well, let's not talk about the golf itself. But Scotty, what do you think? Do you think they're gone over the limit with regards to the booze and then the partying and stuff? Like, obviously, everybody knows it's a party.
Yep.
I mean, I've been there 4 times.
Yeah.
It's just...
See, I think like this is my old person moment. Like, I would not enjoy going to the 16th hole anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Was that based on this year, or have you felt that way
for a few years now? I don't think you could pay me to go stand in
It's frat boys, basically. Like, it's frat, very frat atmosphere.
I mean, it happens once a year. It's fun. It brings a ton of attention to the sport. Is it a bad thing? Say no. Would it go a little overboard this year? Yes,
probably.
But, I mean, anytime you advertise it like that and promote it like that, it's going to have the potential to go overboard.
Yeah.
I think it goes overboard every year, just now with more people with cameras and more people capturing moments and finding a way. Yeah, it's just getting more notoriety and clickbait.
I think the golfers complaining about it are babies.
Big time. You're Zach like Johnson.
Zach Johnson.
Here, whatever.
Get over it.
You
don't
know
go to the event.
What you're doing.
Don't, especially a guy like that. Like,
you don't
Zach
need to go
Johnson,
there.
You don't have to play in that
not
event.
At all.
That's not you playing to try to keep your status or elevate your status on tour. Like, you can't miss it or you might not have a job next year. Don't play. Fucking get over yourself.
And definitely don't go interact and tell them to shut up because they're all drunk. Who actually shuts up if you're drunk?
So bad. Like, you can,
but you know why he got frustrated. It wasn't about him shooting bad. It went personal with Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a personal, that's like almost.
He's a professional. He should be able to ignore that.
Golf seems everybody to gets be chirped. Like completely shielded from anyone saying anything bad or negative
100%.
At any point in time.
100%.
And I don't think, you know, in the majority of golf tournaments, people should be out there yelling at people's backswings or doing anything like that. I think
that's
shit. But take a chirp.
Yeah.
If you're walking down the fairway and some guy chirps you, chirp him back or walk away with the millions of dollars in your pocket and keep moving. But don't engage, because you engage, it's just going to make a lot of people
brutal.
Hate
like,
you.
It's
and it's
going to
make
so,
you look like
I'm
such
sure
a
he baby. Actually probably regrets it. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know, Zach. I don't know what he's like, but it's like, you can't engage with drunk fans. Like, what do you expect?
No.
Especially when you're, it's like, I could be talking to you. Say you were the one chirping, and I'm Zach Johnson. I'm talking to you. What do you think everybody around him is doing? First of all, they're whipping out their phone. Second of all, they're also wanting to engage because they're all drunk, and they're going to go at you too, and you're still going to look like a idiot.
Absolutely.
Okay, so here's my only question. We haven't won a President's Cup.
Till 2024.
We, as being Canadians.
Yeah, right.
Would you ever chirp the president, or like, sorry, the captain, post-event, thinking they were the reason?
No, but that's not my personality.
I'm just curious. Like, do you know anyone that chirps a captain?
I'm also 47. Like, it's not like...
No, but if you're 20 years old or whatever, I feel...
I'm 20, maybe.
Yeah, if I was 20, piss lettered at the waste management.
You'd go after
probably maybe, just try to be cool, like, right?
You know, like, I don't, at this point, no.
I don't put that much onus on the captains, maybe, where I would ever go that. I don't want to say that.
Yeah, it's true. It's not the captain's fault that the guys went out and played like shit.
It's like going after the coach of the 49ers for not winning. Well, I guarantee people do, but yeah, anyway.
100% they do.
Just
Captain Choke.
Just thought I threw it out there.
Yeah.
So congrats, Nick Taylor. We're all very fan. Wasted Management.
Well, okay. So, well, let's do the sidebar. Okay. Cause this is a kind of a funny story. So, this was a completely random, we decided that we're going to go down to Mexico, for a week long, what do you call it? All inclusive or whatever. And so we book it and I'm all excited cause you're living out in the West Coast. Me and Bernadette are going down. They get down before us. We arrive. They're already half snapped in the pool. This is a great week. We find out shortly before we left that the PGA tournament, Mayakoba Classic, is happening. And yeah, we're like, okay, well, who's playing down there? And there wouldn't be a ton of, you know, great players that are playing. Anyway, but one of them is Canadian Nick Taylor. Yep. And anyway, Chris sort of half knows, you can chime in a second, but kind of half knows Nick. And anyway, was comfortable enough to basically message him and say, would you mind? My brother and I are coming down. Their wives would love to go watch you play. Would you mind, you know, maybe give us a line on tickets or something?
Yeah.
No problem. Got you hooked up. Right. So long story short, legitimately, our resort was across the street from the Mayakoba golf course. Like
nice.
You're talking Mexico, $3 peso, whatever ride, like very close.
Yeah.
So we hop in, beautiful day. We're walking through. We're like, holy smokes, this is unbelievable. And we go up to the will call. And we're like, yeah. So apparently Nick Taylor's got a
line for some tickets here.
Some tickets for us.
Hook a fella up.
And she's like, let's see. Probably my Mexico accent. Let's see. And we're going through it. And we're like, yeah, here we are. Chris Curry. Absolutely. Here are your tickets. Thank you very much. All right. General admission. We'll take it. And then as we're walking in and stamping our tickets, thinking we're high rollers, we look over and we look at the price of the general admission tickets. $5. $5. Man, did he ever hook us up.
He's got hooked up. See, this is not a shot at Nick because we only asked for tickets. It's a shot at us. Why ask for a favor for $5? Like, yes. I hate asking for favors in general in this industry, but I was thinking they're $100 tickets to get in. I don't know why.
It's waste third world country. Be a lot more, right? Like, yeah, these types of things.
But it was ironic. Yes, he obviously gave us tickets and he saved us a round of drinks and yada, yada, yada. But I really wish I didn't ask for that.
We were all wearing Canada gear too. Like, and I mean, that's a sidebar story. He gave us tickets. Those were probably the most expensive tickets that you could probably get.
Or that he had access to or whatever. I don't disagree.
That's true. That's a long time before his first win.
I learned a lesson.
Probably didn't have a ton of pull back then.
100%. 100%. Probably like these two random guys.
Have you been to many tour events?
Yep.
Have you?
Probably.
Quite a few.
Well,
I said Waste four times.
I've been to the Waste Management four times. I've been to the Masters. I've been to the US Open.
Yeah.
I've been to Bay Hill twice. I guess that's it. But like to me, that seems like a lot. Like that's, you know.
That's a lot.
Four, five, six, a lot, seven, more eight.
Than most, like, a lot for the Prince Edward Island.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, 100%. Absolutely.
How about you, Scotty? How many have you been to?
Just two.
Did you go to the President's Cup?
No, I went to the Masters, though, so that was a
Yeah. You went the year before I think I did.
Yeah, yeah. I was 2017. Sergio won. We were there on Sunday.
So much better than my year.
But honestly, man, like we were there Sunday, and it was blistering hot, and it was obviously my first and only Masters experience. So we were there for when the gates open. And it was probably a good thing they didn't serve beer until lunchtime.
Yeah,
they won't serve beer until church is out on Sunday. That's a thing.
In Georgia?
Yep.
Okay. Yep.
At Augusta, could not get a beer. And any other day of the week, you can start drinking as soon as you get in there, as far as I know, or like 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, whatever it is.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. So it was a good thing, but it was very hot. And, you know, we obviously took it all in and walked the course and saw as much as we could see. And by the time he hit 14, and, you know, there was no groups behind him, and they were coming down the stretch, you couldn't even get close enough to the action to really see anything.
Okay.
And you were fighting. And we were exhausted. And, you know, honestly, like, my wife's 5'2". She couldn't see a damn thing.
Right. Right.
And you're like 10 back no matter where you go.
Yeah. And it's a long day, too.
A long day. We were exhausted. So we actually, like, we pulled out when he was on probably 16. Okay. And went to a bar directly across the street just so we could actually see the finish.
Nice.
Yeah. So, it, you know, I don't really regret doing that. Because you couldn't see anything anyway, and then you're fighting with all.
Rather not be 30 deep, right?
That's like just it. Yeah. And maybe an unpopular opinion, but if there was any day I'd choose not to go, it would probably be a Sunday.
Yeah.
If I had a chance again, I would have way rather go on a Thursday or Friday.
Right.
Because no action started till like 11:30.
Yeah.
We were in there and we got parked on the range, and don't get me wrong, I had some fantastic experiences.
Yeah.
It was awesome, man. Just what a lot of people don't see and understand about going to Augusta is the service there and the quality of like employees and volunteers is fantastic.
Yeah. It's one of my takeaways too.
It was crazy. I know we went, they had the new range at this point, which they would when you were there as well.
Yeah.
And we wanted to, you know, there was nothing else to do. We couldn't watch any golfers. We wanted to park it on the grandstand behind the range and watch some players hit balls. And, you know, one thing I'll never forget about that is there was a security guard there, and he's like, kind of motioned like, you're looking for a seat. He said, yes, take nothing now, but just give me a second. So we thought nothing of it. Like, this guy's not going to pay attention to us. He's got a million other people he's trying to deal with.
Right.
Sure enough, 5 minutes later, he flags me down, pulls me up, gets us not the very front row, but the second from the front row, plants us there. So I'm like, okay, cool. These are great seats.
Yeah.
You know, Rom's just down the way, probably 30 feet away, hitting balls.
Yeah. But
walks out and plops their bag directly in front of us, but Rory.
No way.
And so got to watch Rory's entire warm-up routine, and that was cool.
Yeah.
That was cool, just being that close. And even the other tour.
Anything special about that routine that you kind of took away that was like...
He hits his woods like a god.
Yeah.
He just does whatever he wants with a three-wood driver. It is sickening.
But he didn't do anything before, like prior, that you were like,
No.
Everything was kind of like stretch it out and then
stretching
just
and balls.
Yeah.
His irons were good, but like not crazy. Like, shouldn't say this. Is it impressive? Yes.
Yeah.
It is blowing away.
But his woods and long game else, bananas.
No, not anyone else on tour. Obviously, not like watching me or you warm up. But when I watched him pull out a 5-wood and a 3-wood and a driver and start hitting balls, it was disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, you could have thrown a towel over them, and he was calling the shots, moving it both ways. He just didn't miss one. It was so impressive.
Was there any engagement with the patrons at all?
No.
Understood.
I was not curious on the range. No. A lot with Jeff Knox.
Jeff Knox, the guy that plays when they have
the odd number, he comes out and plays. So he played that day.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had a lot of local support.
Retired now.
He's sick. What a job that is. you know, but he was out there, and he's a player.
Yeah.
Hits it.
Yeah.
Not that far.
They don't keep his score, but apparently he's beaten
a ton of guys.
Yeah.
And that does not surprise me at all.
Yeah.
Guy's a player, and he hits it. He knows course like the back of his hand.
Chris Curry style.
That's right.
With a K.
I love watching tour players on the range. That's one of the most enjoyable things for me, just watching these guys hit it, because they're so good.
Consistent and good.
So good.
I mean, Lenny's been to a lot of events, and I've been to quite a few as well. There's something to be said, who's coming? You're sitting at a hole, right? Oh, okay, great. You have no idea if they just made 3 birdies in a row or if they just four-jacked on the ball. Like, you have no idea. What's going on. And then they hit an approach, and then you're on to the next. So when you're at a driving range, or you follow someone around, and that's what I did for Mike Weir at Pebble Beach during one of the AT&T. He had like 30 people following him. I was one of them. And he,
yeah,
he owns Pebble Beach as well. He can play really well there. And he shot, I think, 6 red. And I watched the whole thing. And I saw the whole round. And I was like, that was an experience. But you can't do that at Augusta. As you said, there's 30 people deep. And, you know, Augusta's special in
you
every way.
You can and you can't, I guess. I mean, you're trying to watch
unless you're inside the ropes.
Final group.
Yeah.
Of course. But I see, that's one thing I found is how close you could get to the players at Augusta. Like, the ropes are... They're close.
Oh, yeah.
They're not pushed too far back.
They are.
And, like, I heard a lot of cool conversations with caddies and players, and that was unique.
Yeah. I've told the story real quickly. Like, when I met Tiger Woods at Augusta, I met him. But he walked over. I don't know how to explain. I was a starter at the Champions Tour. I saw these legends of the game, Tom Kite, Marco Mir, Bernard Wagner, all these. When I saw Tiger, I literally... He had the aura, like the orange ember behind him as he's walking. It was spiritual for me.
Did Tiger play in 2017?
Guess who didn't play in 2017?
Okay, fair enough.
Alpha Welsh didn't play. That was the year DJ had the little issue.
Oh, he fell down the stairs.
Yeah. Down the stairs.
Fell down the stairs. Okay, so that was that year. So then you've never seen Tiger live?
Never seen Tiger live.
Okay, because I had the exact same experience, and I've been lucky enough to see Tiger twice, and once was at the next year at the Masters, and it was the big return to Augusta for Tiger, and I remember watching the practice round, and I've talked about this before, just like, I don't think I've ever been that like, okay, don't move, he might look at me like
starstruck.
Like just like I anyway, it's a whole different feeling.
A guy grabbed his divot, so we were right, like I was 10 feet away from him. And he hit a little pitch shot, and guy grabbed his divot, looked at me, and he's like, I got his divot. And he, like, ran. And at Augusta, you don't run.
No.
So I'm, like, laughing. I'm like, ah, you're going to get caught. But honestly, I think about it now, I wish I had that tuft of grass. I would have grown it at home.
My brother's in the
hydroponics.
We
would have our own Augusta green right now. But at the time, I thought he was an idiot.
Yes.
But anyway, I digress.
Yeah, you don't run at Augusta. It's crazy how drunk everyone is there, but it's so well-behaved.
I would argue, because in the same calendar year...
No phones, though, too.
I went to Augusta.
Yeah.
Augusta and Waste Management. And I honestly think the number... They don't release how many people go to Augusta.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, it is a lot closer than you think to the 120,000 or whatever that gets.
Oh, there's tons. To Waste Management. But, I mean, I didn't find anyone was rowdy there.
No. There's an aura there.
People are hammered.
Yeah.
But they're not rowdy. And, like... What's really cool is there's no real VIP.
I think it's because they'll boot them right the
dawn. They don't care.
That's what I
was on my ticket, best behavior.
Your
a lot
ticket,
of beers deep, but on my best.
If you ever want to go back, your ticket, they will hole punch your ticket, and that means you're not coming back. I heard this.
Yeah.
You say there's no VIP. I was lucky enough to be in the VIP section.
Where's the VIP?
It's called Berkman's Place, and they have replica putting greens. I walked through. Condoleezza Rice shook my hand and said,
"Is that like on the left hand, right hand side of one?
Right hand side of
okay.
one?
Okay, yes, that is. I did notice that.
I had the even more special Masters experience. Like I said, I putted on the replica greens. Hilarious! All these Masters champions are there shaking. It was special.
Yeah,
members as well. So yeah, pretty cool.
Before we go any further, I just want to talk to you about Red Rooster Golf. They're golf clubs that have, I think, over 1,000 five-star reviews, shipped over 50,000 all over the world. Easily the most comfortable golf glove I've ever worn. And when you think about it, it is the one piece of equipment that attaches your hands to the clubs. So pretty damn important. Crafted from premium AAA Cabretta leather. They're super durable. I've been using just one of them like the entire time I've done the golf simulator all winter long. And I just love them. So anyway, they were kind enough to actually give us a coupon code to use. So for you guys, you can use the code ISLANDGREEN, no space, and get 20% off. Whether you're eyeing the Betty, feeling the Sultan, or tempted by the whiteout, it's time to bring your A game. They all have those funky names. So, anyway, check out the gloves at redroostergolf.com. Use the code ISLANDGREEN at checkout. And, they have a money-back guarantee, too. So, I mean, you know, there's absolutely no risk to do it. I use them. I love them. Enjoy, guys. I'm back to pod.
Somebody has returned to the tour.
Yes.
Not necessarily the PGA Tour. our friends from the Live Tour have snagged a guy that
was
out.
Big snag.
And you want to talk about moving the needle.
Oh,
I have not seen, again, we'll talk about social media movement. So here we have Anthony Kim is returned to the golf spotlight.
Huge.
He hasn't teed off yet. He tees off tomorrow. Obviously,
does the tee off tomorrow?
Yeah. Yep. With Liv.
Is it tomorrow or Friday?
Oh, shit. Yeah, so it is Friday.
Friday.
But it's hilarious. Like, they're marketing them as a wild card because I don't know what that means from a team point of view. I think the team part in Liv is ridiculous, as I've said before. But anyway, boys, Anthony Kim's back. Does he break par?
Hard to say. I hope he does. I'm going to tune in.
Exactly.
You know, I wouldn't say I'm the hugest Liv guy.
I don't think there's too many huge Liv guys.
No, I have opinions both ways.
Tim York, I think, huge Liv guy.
Yeah, Timmy loves Liv. Big
Are
Liv
you
fan.
Legit?
No.
Yeah,
no, he hates him. He talks him all the time. Him.
More blindly people hates. Like Liv now than they did 6 months ago. Like, it is.
Yeah.
I've
tried
changing.
To watch it. I don't love it. I don't hate Liv to the point that I wouldn't give it a chance. I did. I didn't love it.
They're buying all the best players.
Am I going to tune
it's like,
in this week?
I don't know. I've heard good things about they've improved a lot of things, and I'm probably going to check out what Anthony Kim is up to, and
I will be watching Anthony Kim.
Right.
100%. And
like,
I don't
he could
care.
Charlie Woods
I don't
out
care
there
if
and
he's on the PGA Tour Canada. I don't care where he goes. I'm finding a way to track him and watch him because that guy moves.
Why
the
is that?
I don't know. He's like, to me, like the three big ones are Tiger, obviously, moves the needle. Anthony Kim, he was the only one that ever was close to doing a formula like Tiger. That guy is electric to watch. And Jordan Spieth when he's in contention.
Such a small
Jordan
sample
Spieth
size,
is
though, right?
So electric to watch when he's in contention.
Spieth?
I think he is some of the best TV going.
100%.
But only when he's in contention.
He's crazy, man. Yeah.
He's crazy.
He won't hit one fairway.
He's crazy. But Anthony Kim, like the swagger, you want to talk about swagger.
Yeah.
The guy's a belt buckle bigger than my head that says AK.
True.
He doesn't care. He's going out there to step on people's throats.
True.
And I love him.
So how do you think this all happened? Like how this, what do you think happened? Do you think the same as me where it's like, obviously he stopped playing. It was an insurance payout.
Yeah.
Basically, if he played professional golf again, he'd have to pay it off. Are you thinking the same as me where it's like Liv said, we'll pay it off. Don't worry about it. Now we're going to pay you. Here's an extra $500 million.
Of course. I mean, they certainly didn't give him that much.
It's the smartest thing.
But like, it wasn't even that much, was it? Was it $10 million?
I think it was more.
I think he was
on a time. That was a ton.
That was a ton
back then. But I also think he was on a timeline. I think he was like, you can't play professional golf for X number of years. And I do think that's lapsed. You could be right. Actually, I didn't think about it. I thought.
But the only repercussions of him playing would be having to pay back that insurance settlement.
That's also what I thought. I thought you had to repay it back if you don't play for 20 years. It's been 20. How long has it been? 12 years? I actually don't know. I should know.
I think it's more than that.
But like honestly, I think he's outside of that where he has to pay back.
But would they have to pay back the exact amount given to him or like that money in today's
world. Well, I mean, who knows, right? Like,
otherwise, it's insurance.
But
not only that,
Liv is just going to be like,
of course, Liv's going to.
Here's $100 million.
Of course, it is. You're like, here, we're going to wipe this out.
Yes.
You're back, and now we're going to give you another $30 million.
This gives
the insurance company that's.
Yeah.
This is a birdie for Liv, or maybe even an eagle. I will give it to them.
100%. PGA Tour should have been smart enough and paid them off.
Pay
them off. Throw them a few sponsor exemptions. You want to talk about a way to combat Liv? And taking John Rahm from me. I mean, Anthony Kim could go out and shoot 75-75, and there will be people glued to the TV watching him. He moves the needle.
You're right.
If the PGA Tour is smart, where I think they can't and haven't been able to get out of their own way the last couple of years with the whole Liv stuff, and I'm still a PGA guy.
So am I.
I don't
so
think I. they've been able to get out of
but
their own
But it's impressive
way.
To
I
see what they're doing.
They didn't handle it great out the gates. They're, you know, trying to find a way to make it look now, which they have to because you can hate Liv all you want, but if you don't think there's some top talent there now, you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
You're out of your mind. They have some of the best players in the world, bottom line, and some of the most watchable and recognizable names.
I still miss Cameron Smith for his putting.
Cam Smith was awesome.
Like,
he got
Rahm
is huge.
Like,
Patrick Reed, you can hate him, but everyone needs a villain.
Yeah,
Dustin Johnson. He was good for golf. Like, DJs,
Kepka.
DJ. Kepka was always a great one. I love watching Kepka when he's in the hockey majors. Talk about a guy who wants to step on your throat.
Now, that said, all those guys will still play the majors.
Correct. You know what I mean? So it's not like...
No, Ian Poulter's not getting on any of those majors.
Not Taylor Gooch.
Taylor Gooch.
Oh, jeez. What a quote that guy
was.
Got.
Dumb.
That was so dumb.
And buddy, you're Taylor Gooch. Good player. Like, yeah. Ripping up lit.
Hey, you can come on the Island Green and throw those quotes around, but you're not doing that in the media, man. Like, come on.
I'm going to roar. You're going to have an asterisk because you're not in the field. Look at all the other Liv players that are in the field.
Okay.
They're all there.
Love how they sewered him online. Yeah. Like, basically saying, well, Tiger was 97 Masters, now has an asterisk next to it.
Yeah,
like,
Taylor Gooch.
And, I didn't hear that. That's awesome.
I think Data Golf put something out regarding Koepka's last major win, and like, no, this one's verified because Gooch was in the field and he shot plus 10. So, so this is a solidified win.
Like, was it because he was talking about himself not being in the field?
I thought
it was a generalization about the best.
I think it was more of a generalization for sure. But if you look at the Liv players that are in the field for Augusta,
he's like,
all of the ones that should be there are there.
Yeah. Listen, Rory defended Taylor today. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, I did.
So Rory took the high road, but I think he's like, listen, if you look at the full question and the full answer, Taylor, Taylor repeated what the interviewer was asking.
They baited,
do you think there should be? And he said, okay, sure. But obviously that's clickbaited. But Taylor's,
I hate that.
Taylor's going to make a statement, I guarantee
it. I hate that.
But shout out to Augusta. They invited a few more people, and Joaquin hit that, and that all of a sudden hit a lot of traction as well. Yeah. Joaquin being a live guy.
At the same time with Taylor, he also made one of the dumbest comments I've ever heard. He was doing an interview, DJ, I can't remember who else, when Liv kind of first got going, and they were asking about the atmosphere of Liv. And this is one of their first events, and I think he said something along the lines of, I've never played a President's Cup or a Ryder Cup, but this seems bigger.
Yeah.
And it was one of the most...
Well, if he doesn't know, then what's his frame of reference?
Does he have a TV? I mean, what are we doing? Like, that is such a out-of-touch comment. So, you know, then when he doubles down, and even if it is a soundbite, what he said regarding Rory, I mean, kind of already made your bed with that stupid comment. So,
Watson saying about the team names where all his kids and all his kids' friends know about the four aces or whatever. Like, and we're all laughing at this. You're like, are you out of your tree? No one knows these stupid team names. But anyway.
There's a guy, right? Like, Bubba Watson going.
Perfect spot for him.
Okay, so yeah, Liv, I think, would be like the Champions Tour before you hit the age group. Like, Ian Poulter, Lee Westwood, Sergio. They're on that back nine of their career. Go to Live, make tons of money, and I have no problem with it.
They are, but there's still too many really good players that are playing with Live Ring Panel, not to find a way to make it coexist. That's really what I want to happen, because I still want to watch Kevin.
How electric would Live versus PGA Tour be?
It would be the most watched event if they could somehow. I said this years ago. I'm sure we had this conversation over a couple of beers. The best thing the PGA Tour can do right now is double down, create a rivalry, almost like WCW, WWF. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Create that rivalry.
Yeah.
Make a team event out of it. Could you imagine a Liv versus PGA Tour Ryder Cup style event? Like, especially...
It would be bigger than the Ryder Cup.
I truthfully think it would as well, because there's like legit distaste hatred for each other.
100%.
And everybody's got to going away now. And as time goes on, that will go on more.
Yeah.
But it's not going away in the fanfare side.
Especially in North America, it would be bigger than. I shouldn't say like, because
Europe probably not. But North America would be huge, because there's so many people that just blindly hate Liv.
Yeah.
And I don't like Liv, but I don't blindly hate it either.
I feel very similar. At the beginning, I was like, there's no way this will work, because they're just spending money and they're not making any money.
Yep.
They're still not making any money, but they bought every good golfer.
I think if it was handled properly, though, from the PGA from the get-go, it probably wouldn't have worked, but I think it was fumbled.
Don't we wish we could have a business where you could just lose money? Like,
spend money and just
going to lose billions.
Yeah.
And yet no one's even talking about the shelf life. Like, wasn't that long ago Vince McMahon started the XFL?
Yep.
And everyone thought this was going to be
also started the WWF. NFL.
Well, that was because he had the money from the WWF. But the XFL completely folded. How many years does Liv fold?
Does Liv fold?
How many years can you just lose money? When you have, I guess, where the money's coming from.
Yes. I would say yes. But I think unfortunately, I think at some point, Liv does
not. Do you see Liv being profitable eventually based on how much they pay their athletes?
But at some point, they're going to force the hand of the PGA Tour to where they're at now, and they accept more of this money from the Saudi government.
It's TV deals, right?
Like, well, no, 100%. But even then, like, you look at, you know, top line revenue and expenses, and if you're overspending, I just, as a business model, just in general, don't know how they keep going short of someone just saying, writing a check for billions and saying, I love the controversy, but you're not making any money off merchandise.
No.
Like the events themselves are not, there's nobody there. So where are they getting any revenue off this where you would get it
they're
from the
PGA
Tour?
They're buying their way into sport.
Well, yeah.
And that's what's happening. And I think eventually what will happen is their money is not going to run out.
Oh, 100%.
It's not. And they're not trying to make money right now. What they're trying to do, in my opinion, is they're trying to buy their way into sport.
Exactly. They're improving their image is how I understand.
And eventually what's going to happen is the PGA Tour is not going to be able to keep up. It's impossible. So I think what will happen is Liv will probably dissolve at some point, whether it's 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. I have no idea. But I think it will. I think it'll all get filtered back through the PGA Tour. So something affiliated with the PGA Tour, but the tour will be more backed by that money.
Yeah, maybe. I got to do something. It's
definitely
a crossroads. It's definitely a crossroads.
That's their goal, and this is not to be profitable. It's buying their way in sports.
Yeah.
And they're not going to stop spending money until they achieve what they want.
As every other sport, you know, hockey, NBA, NFL, they have a business model that involves making money.
Correct.
A lot of money for the owners, a lot of money for as much as they can for the players, yada, yada, yada.
True.
This is just the complete opposite, and it's kind of hilarious to me. Anyway.
I have something that I'd like to talk about. Speaking of professional sports, what are your thoughts on the PEI tourism partnering up with the NHL?
What are my thoughts on it? I'm not educated enough in the situation to have any sort of hot take on it. I saw it. I didn't look into it too hard.
I think at first glance, I'm like, how in the hell does this benefit, right? Like an NHL partnership. But then when you look into it a little deeper, you're like, okay, wait a second now. Like, there's a lot of maritime hockey players.
Mm-hmm.
They have access to the marketing machine that is the NHL now.
Yeah.
And apparently PEI was on the bill, like on the boards at all of these, you know, network broadcasts and such. And it could be a major thing.
It could be huge. I mean, I have no qualms in someone trying something different.
Like, right.
Good exactly. on them.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. They thought outside the box and did something different. Again, like anything, people are going to complain.
Instead of buying
and blow it up and tell everyone
magazine articles.
How terrible of an idea it is. And we have issues at hand, like healthcare and everything else that we're not spending money on.
Yeah.
I get it. All fair point. There's nothing you can do that's not going to anger someone.
Yeah.
But why not? Yeah. Why not give it a shot? I mean, obviously, the people that made these decisions have, you know, researched. Studied it.
It's a big amount. Yeah.
They're 100%. Very invested in that sector and probably have a justifiable reason as to why they did it. I don't have a stance on it. I hope it works out. I think here I'm an Islander now. I'm still
sad timing.
What?
Well, it was a sad time. It was within a couple of weeks of a couple of NHL people getting
sued
behavior that is innocent until proven guilty.
But that's something that somebody on the social networks that you saw and you're like, yeah, that's a great comparison. But it's not a great comparison.
I wouldn't even correlate.
It's not even the same.
Someone did.
It's exactly.
Are you one of these trolls that I hate online?
You don't see a lot of posts from me, but I do read a lot. And then I take it to,
I don't post much.
You want entertainment. You want entertainment. Look at Ask PEI on a Facebook group and just do anything. Hey, I'm trying to rent my place for this. And the 3,000 comments about how it's too much and it's embarrassing what some people
ridiculous.
Can do behind their keyboards. Anyway.
You could say, I hope everyone has a great day on that chat and someone would light you up.
100%.
Get you fired from your job.
I'm in the tourism industry. I sell golf vacations on the other coast. And I can tell you anything, as you said, try it. I mean, you elected people to make decisions.
Yep.
They can eat crow in their face if it didn't work.
Yep.
But, you know, we did Big Break Prince Edward Island when you're talking about a tourism thing for PEI.
True. People probably hated that idea. People hated the idea of building a bridge.
What about Kelly Ripa and bringing Regis Philbin?
Oh, my God. I'm still paying dividends.
And I mean, no offense to any Islanders. I mean, I'm not born in. I'm still not accepted.
Same, but,
you know, a lot of people from the island do not like change. That's a fact.
Yeah.
They do not like change. And I have personally zero issue with someone trying to be innovative and do something different and think outside the box, try to bring more revenue here. It only benefits everyone.
Tell you what though, it came out on left field. That's what I was just like,
big
whoa,
time.
Wow.
Yeah. Big time. Really? I was like, yeah, same.
That's what I think was like the stir of it all. I was just like, we did what? So I think they've probably been working on it for years. They probably had like this proposal, went back and forth, and they finally said, we approve you, and now it's
You don't just show up on a Monday and strike a deal with the NHL by the following Friday.
Yeah,
it's not really how it works.
And there's a lot of NHL talent on PEI, not as much as a lot of other areas, but we get behind our Zach McEwen's and our Noah Dobson's and our Brad Richards, and I think that's pretty cool. Dion Phaneuf, but this mega house here, Alicia Cuthbert, maybe. Anyway, I want to talk one more golf thing, and then I'm pretty much done for my topics. Just a few nights ago, they televised the match. I think it was the ninth version of the match.
Yep,
over the match. I can tell you that.
This is honestly where I'm
reviews most were good, but I didn't watch.
Oh, really? Because
not a swing.
Okay, so here's it was. They went something different. They went with all golf pros: Rory, Max Homa, and against Rose Zhang and Lexi Thompson.
Yep.
So 12-hole match under the lights. And I guess my question was, did you watch it? It sounds like you didn't.
No.
I've actually tried to watch this, and it's on like TNT or some random cable
it's not
network.
Easy to find.
So I couldn't find it, and I just laughed because honestly, I used to watch these things, and now I don't. So anyway, congrats. I don't even know who won. I don't even know who I'm congrats.
It doesn't matter. With no spoilers, I know who won, but it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. Like, I personally think that they're trying these things, and I actually heard good reviews about it, like that it was entertaining and they thought they did it right. But in my opinion, some of the best golf that's not professional that I love watching is like the YouTube sandbaggers, like that the Spit and Chicklets guys put on. Because
it's the future of where things are going.
Right.
For, you know,
it's
viewership,
relatable.
Bringing new people to the game. It's relatable. Oh. I mean, you got guys that are towing the line of whether they want to, you know, make a run at being a tour pro or if they have a personality.
Yeah. Personality is
YouTube
huge, right?
Space. Yeah. And they're doing that. And they're wildly successful at doing that. And I enjoy it.
Just
I really like watching a lot
of that.
Isn't
there either a PGA Tour event where they're giving a sponsor's exemption to a Korn Ferry event?
Yep.
Or
is it Grant Horvath that's getting it? Who can play? I don't know.
They basically did a competition for the top 10 YouTubers. They went out and played.
Yeah.
And one of them wins a sponsor exemption.
Yeah, I
should know more about it. But I think that's pretty cool.
I think it had more viewers than the live event.
Yeah.
But
that's the way they should be going anyway. I mean, what's one spot, and you'll have people flip out and complain that they're taking a spot away from a grinder that's out there trying to make a living. But the reality is all of these guys make a better living and have more opportunity by bringing more exposure to the sport.
Yeah.
And these things are going to bring more exposure to the sport.
Love
it or hate it, is there a guy out there that's trying to Monday qualify that would beat the pants off of this YouTuber nine times out of 10 when they play?
Yep,
100%.
How much personality does he have?
Is that guy bringing more exposure to the sport for one spot in the field?
No.
So it's still a business.
It's still a business.
You've got to think that way in some capacity.
I agree. I think more people would watch me and Pudge versus you and Murph play the simulators in a match.
I don't know about that.
Than some of the some of these things. But people like relatable. Think anyway, and I loved watching. Remember the Bryant brothers? Now, of course, Wes Bryant's an actual pro, and his brother Brian
George Bryant.
George, thank you.
And he's like, a pro too, though. He's a
player. He is a pro now.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was when I started watching, but they would do 9-hole matches together or whatever. I mean, like, there were sticks. I'd watch all of their 9-hole matches, and I was very entertained, but it was like I felt like it was more relatable. They were way better than me, but it was like I still felt it was a little bit more relatable. And it, for like entertainment,
it is relatable. It comes with a lot of entertainment value. I find myself more and more and more surfing on my phone, and then I get locked into some 9-hole match with a couple of guys that, like, you know, I'd probably easily hold my own with. And
100%.